American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And what do you know? It's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Thursday, May 5, 2005. Thursday, one more day to go. All you got to do is make it one more day, and you are at the weekend with no worries. This is Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil core political tyranny. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. And once you're there, you'll be able to follow up on what I do on my day-to-day life. You'll be able to, well, treat me as though you were the member of the CIA, and I would say you, and you could completely dominate my entire life and know what my every single movement, because I record it all there, as long as I have time, which, of course, I'm always able to do, and I always have the news stories there for you to follow along with, just in case you can't believe the stories which I'm reporting to you, which, if you don't believe them, I don't take it personally. I don't take it personally, because you know what? Some of the stories we report on this show are absolutely unbelievable. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, WNY Media Network, sorry, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, and OspreyRadio.info. For some reason, on 76 Radio, it says per day after 76 Radio, which I'm not too sure why that says that there on my sheet, but it's one of those weird little words that showed up on your document. You're not really sure how it got there. Kind of like when you turn in the high school paper and you discover that there's like four paragraphs of a fantasy you had with your teacher. Yeah, that happened to me. That happened to me. How many people has that happened to? You know, you turn something in and all of a sudden they're like, you know, Mr. Kennedy, it seems that there's a proposition here on the top. Ah! No, sorry, that was wrong. But you're free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do whatever you like with it. You can hand it out to people. You can give it to the members of the FBI. And a big hello to all my law enforcement brethren out there who have downloaded and listened to the show. You guys keep fighting the good fight. I just recommend that you check your fire and make sure you understand that we are, in fact, not your enemy. We're all on the same side over here. Nothing to fear here. Move along. Move along. Feedback. Dear Sean, I think I found something that might pertain to somewhat to Operation Ghost Dance. I love this fishing. You know, a lot of people want to know what Operation Ghost Dance is all about. This is something I mentioned at the end of Season 2 of Patrolling. And everyone's like, what's Operation Ghost Dance? Hint, Shadowrun. The website is www.bartomansion.com. Interesting. Basically, these guys went to a condemned house that had a history of Satan worship in it. Are you sure it was Satan worship? It wasn't just, you know, like Cthulhu worship. It wasn't any other dark god. It was, in fact, Satan. And they recorded some stuff. Videos are on the site. Dun, 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 dun. The main video towards the end, a gigantic demon-like creature. Think Nosferatu, too. Think Nosferatu here. Walks into out of a 7-foot-tall doorway. Now, get this. It bends down in what looks to me about 2 feet to get under the doorway. This fucker's huge. I think some well-equipped wobs in California should get in, go in there and check it out and see what's up. I think it's real. What do you think? And that's from Digital Attrition. Okay, well, you know, I went to their site there, and if you go and check it out, you know, it's very much kind of hokey. It looks a lot like a haunted house sort of, you know, generate tourism kind of thing. However, there is a chance that the people who just built the site, put the site together, were in fact really, you know, just talented, and they decided to make a site dedicated to this bizarre haunted house. Now, if you have the inclination, and you want to go pick up one of those ghost detectors that I mentioned before, you could head up to the Bardo Mansion and check it out. Why not? Why not get some well-equipped wogs in there to check this sucker out? You'd probably have to stay there for a week or so, make sure you got an escape plan. If I start finding out the wogs are going missing in that region, I'll come down there myself and sort it out, but in the meantime, in between time, I don't think that's the case. I think the whole thing looks a little bit dodgy, and it looks like something that could probably be a hoax. But by all means, if there's any WOGs in California, maybe you should get together with Digital Attrition and check that stuff out. Now, next feedback. Dear Sean, recommend some reading. Spare nothing. Read the list on the show. Feed me data. This is Doobie X. Now, it's always great when people ask me what books they should be reading because, you know, I've read a little bit. I'm not as rabid a bookworm as I would like to be. You never really get a chance to be as rabid as a bookworm as you like to be. But hey, you know what? I can recommend some books to you right now. I'll recommend three right off the top. There's Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Now, I mentioned this one before, I think on my live journal, but that's a book you want everyone to download and put into their head. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. The second one was sent to me by accident by a book club. Well, that's what they say. It was sent to me by accident. But personally, I think Server sent it to me. And it's a book called The Tao of Pooh, T-A-O of P-O-O-H. It's not like the Tao of crap. It's actually like the Tao of Winnie the Pooh. And that's by a guy by the name of Benjamin Hoff. Very cool book. As a matter of fact, I would say that if you're in a very dark place in your life right now, and The Tao of Pooh by Benjamin Hoff is one of those books, H-O-F-F, by the way. It's one of those books that, you know, if you read it at the right time, it could really make all the difference. And I gotta say, you know, it really made all the difference in my life. So, you know, you might want to pick that book up. Very small, both of those. Man's Search for Meaning, short book for people who don't read a lot. The Tao of Pooh, again, short book for people who don't read a lot. And for those who don't slow down, you know, for you hardcore suckers out there who can just read anything, well, you might want to check out, go for Understanding Media, The Extensions of Man, and that's by Marshall McLuhan. And if you could chew through that and fully understand it, then you are a better WOG than I. I have been able to get through it. It's very heady stuff. But if you could understand that, baby, you've got the propaganda thing leashed. Very good book to download. Now, moving into some opinions here, dear Sean. What do you know about Echelon? Now, Echelon's been around for a while. The Echelon Corporation / Network is one of the monitors of the world's network. This is like that book that came out called Chatter. It uses Segway's Simplite for MSN Messenger to get... I use Segway's Simplite to get... from MSN Messenger to get away from it. I find it disturbing. I want to know how much of a threat you'd find it to be. From Fort, well, what can you do about it? You know, it doesn't really matter how much of a threat it is because what can you do about it? Nothing. So you're doing the correct thing and focusing on evasion. You know what I mean? When you look at things like, you know, the police state and surveillance and all this kind of jazz, you can't really stop them. You know, if you start destroying cameras and stuff like that, then people are just going to get really, really angry at you. And therefore, you know, it will just lead to, well, you being arrested or whatever. So the best thing you can focus on is, in fact, evasion. Look at ways of getting around it. And that's why this guy's got the right idea by using, steps. Even though there's small steps, there's better steps than other ones that prevent you from being sucked into things like Echelon. And Echelon leads us straight into our first news story of the day. The lead news story is about Echelon. And Echelon, of course, in case you're wondering, yes, it's still out there. When a former cabinet minister recently charged that British spies had listened to UN Chief Kofi Annan on the countdown to Iraq war, Prime Minister Tony Blair stonewalled. Claire Short said she'd seen transcripts of Annan's conversations. A furious Blair refused to confirm or deny the accusation, but blasted Short for going public. Well, that obviously means that they were. The allegation came as no surprise to anyone in the United Nations. It is a given that the New York headquarters are bugged and always have been by friends and foes alike. It is technically illegal and officials don't like it. Well, and they get some good counterintelligence in there and just sweep the snot out of it. But there's nothing they can do but register a complaint and enjoy the squirming when a country gets caught red-handed. Yeah, there's stuff you can do. You get in there and you find all the bugs. You maintain security. Maybe, you know, put some white noise generators in there. Do whatever it takes. The public may not be so blasé about the fact that good, quote-unquote, countries, not just bad countries, practice espionage, routine, all pervasive electronic espionage. But it's naive to think otherwise. All nations spy on friends as well as enemies because we live in a paranoid world. There's certain truths, you know? The certain truths is if there was like a pill that turned water into gasoline, there's not a government on this planet that wouldn't kill everyone you know in order to get it. Not that anyone broke into Annan's office and planted Watergate-style budding devices. No, that didn't happen. But they, of course, got the whole UN bug. What Short likely saw were intercepts from a little-known surveillance system called Echelon, which automatically monitors virtually all the world's communications. That's an interesting thing. Every day, billions of telephone calls, emails, faxes, radio transmissions, even internet downloads are captured by orbiting satellites monitoring signals on Earth and then processed by high-powered computers. A minute percentage of the traffic is tagged for transcription, translation, if necessary, and analysis. The ordinary messages of ordinary people get caught up in the sweep, but generally aren't tagged, like the likes of the UN Secretary General are. Echelon is an electronic vacuum cleaner, but it's finely tuned, says Canadian intelligence specialist Wesley Wark. They have to be precise to get what they want. But who is they? The high-tech Echelon system is operated by five nations known as the UK-USA Alliance. The United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Wow, look at that. All the really first world George Orwellian guys. Of course, New Zealand really hasn't done much. I'm looking at New Zealand recently, by the way. I got a buddy of mine came back from there, said that the Kiwis are some sexy, sexy people down there. Chocolate soil, sunny all the time. Gotta like New Zealand. No tornadoes hit New Zealand. When was the last time you heard anything bad about New Zealand? Shit, Lord of the Rings. Middle Earth is New Zealand. Matrix was filmed in, well, I think it was filmed in Australia. It might have been filmed in New Zealand. I think it was. So, you know, maybe that's a sign from server. Maybe we all need to move to New Zealand. Referred in some circles as the Anglo-Saxon Mafia, the U.S.-led network has existed for 58 years. That's a long time. Emerging out of the Allied successful signals intelligence, or SIGINT, operations during World War II. Now, this is something we need to be aware of, that there is always going to be surveillance. You know, we got a lot of heady ideas here. You know, there's a lot of us out here who would like to say that we're, you know, extreme left-wing kind of guys. And then there's those who listen to the show who are extreme white, right-wing kind of guys. I got emails from everyone from white supremacists to, you know, your hardcore vegans to left-wing, right-wing radicals. I got them all here on Newsreel. And you know what? I think that's a good thing. Because I think that eventually, once we can download and get rid of all of the negative, you know, non-unifying emotions and thoughts and stuff like that, like, you know, white supremacists, for example, I think that with just a minor brain tweak, I think you could actually make white supremacists into useful people. Same with black supremacists, you know, like the African Nation of Islam. You know, you get Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan spouts more anti, you know, well, he spouts more racial shit than just about anybody else right now. And you get these guys like, you know, Duke and everybody else. You know, there's all these different racial tensions, which we got to get past all that. We've got to unify on a unified front. Now, the other half of this coin, which nobody likes to talk about, but which is the truth, something I, you know, mentioned briefly at the end of the show, something I hate, is money. It's about money, you know? You got to bear in mind that cash is pretty much the all-pervasive thing in society. It's horrible, it's terrible, but it's the truth. So that makes it a little bit less horrible and terrible. Money is pretty much the key to solving all your woes. And people don't like to hear that. People don't say, oh, well, you know, everything isn't money. Dude, you're right. Everything is not money. But with money, you can do, you know, there's a lot you can do with cash. You know, if you're looking for the secret to happiness, to true happiness, I would say you're more likely to find it if you happen to have cash. And then people go, well, Sean, didn't you learn anything at Burning Man? Yeah, I learned a lot at Burning Man. I learned a ton at Burning Man. One of the things I learned at Burning Man is I don't want to live in a tent. Okay, that's one of the things I learned at Burning Man. Yes, I enjoy and love and peace and happiness and joy, but right now the world is in the clutches of evil. So if you are in university, for all of you who are sending a sort yourself out and stuff like that, you're going to college, you have a chance. If you're in school right now, you got a chance. There's a lot of people out there who don't have a chance. They're going to be in a wage slave job for the rest of their lives. For God's sakes, before you can make any decision, consider the economics and consider it very, very heavily. You know, don't ever think for a minute that I think you should try to live on love. You know, because love's pretty easy to come by. You know, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And he who has the gold makes the rule. So if you're in school right now and you're trying to debate on what to do, look at the jobs that make the most money. If I was to do it all again, I'd probably be a custom plastic surgeon with a radio show on the weekend. Now, let's get into a core political freedom attack. The Free Software Foundation and the General Public License, you know, the good guys, the great enabler of open source movement, were sued. So the heroes of the software movement were sued last Thursday for restraint of trade under the Clayton Antitrust Act, 15 U.S. Code Selection 26, of the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Indiana. The pro se suit filed by physicist, computer programmer, and Grok Law Gladfly, Daniel Wallace, charges that GPL contract licensing scheme artificially fixes software prices. Wallace is asking the court for an injunction that would outlaw the use of GPL in the United States. Can you believe this? The four-page suit claims that Free Software Foundation has entered into contracts and otherwise conspired and agreed with individual software authors and commercial distributors of commodity software products such as Red Hat Incorporated and Noble Incorporated to artificially fix the prices charged for computer software programs through the promotion and use of an adhesion contract that was created, used, and promoted since the year 1991 by the Free Software Foundation Incorporated. This license is known as the new General Public License. The price-fixing scheme implemented with the use of the GNU public license substantially lessens the ability of individual software authors to compete in a free market through creation, sale, and distribution of computer software programs. Now, this is a classic example of when capitalism attacks. Mr. Wallace claims that the ability to work and create commercial computer programs is dependent upon a free market of free restraints and of trade through price-fixing schemes. So he's worried about got to make more money. And the rapid adoption of the GNU General Public License and schemes to deflate or eliminate the free market valuation of computer programs threaten to diminish or destroy his ability to earn future revenues in the career field of computer programming. So he's like, I'm not making any money. The new public license is preventing me from making money. He said in an interview on Sunday that he would probably ask the court for a summary judgment. So he wants to have, you know, this kind of thing destroyed. Now, you got to remember... who's going to benefit by this destruction? And I would put it to you that the large corporations would benefit from this destruction. So maybe he'll get his injunction. Maybe we will see the fall of GNU General Public License and the Free Software Foundation. Maybe this is it, you know, because it's maybe that's all they need. It's kind of sad that that's the guy who's filed it. And maybe, you know, he's just going to be a rabid capitalist. You know, maybe, you know, grow up, you know. Maybe, Sean, that's it. Maybe, you know, that's what it's all about. Maybe it is just about the cash. You know, you've got your internet program there, and you're doing your thing. You're reporting the news to the world. And even you take donations, right? Everybody needs money, and I'm not making money fast enough, says Mr. Wallace. Well, I guess that's a moral call. You know, I guess you got to stand up and do what you think is right. I disagree with the guy. I think that he should be probably more concerned and think bigger picture. But, you know, greed is king in today's society, so I guess that's probably where it's going to be. Let's talk about logs in China. A young Chinese peasant plans to tour his home region in a plane he built himself from scratch. This is a farmer, becoming the country's first farmer to do so. Well, no shit. How many farmers do you know build planes? State media said Sunday. Now, this whole thing could just be a big propaganda scheme because, you know, that's what the Chinese government does. Liu Yibing intends to spend 6 days in late September visiting the main cities of Ningxi, Hu region of China's northwest, the Xinhua news agency reported. He will perform the feat in a 6.2-meter-long two-seat aircraft known as model ROTA-582, according to Xinhua. It's a maximum speed of 160 kilometers an hour and will simply glide to safety on the ground if the engine suddenly stops, the agency said. Liu, who previously designed 9 aircraft all by himself, has 300 hours of flight time under his belt without a single crash, Xinhua reported. Now, I have a problem believing that some guy who's a Chinese farmer out of, you know, the field or whatever, just, you know, was sitting there picking rice one day and he decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to start building a plane. You know, and he breaks out his pocket knife, goes over to a tree branch, starts whittling down the parts, and, you know, fabricates himself a plane, Gilligan's Isle professor style. Well, you know, if that's actually the case, more power to him. And it begs the question, why aren't you doing this? Get off your ass and do something. Build something. You know, there's lots of us out there listening to the show. We got lots of educated people there. If a Chinese peasant farmer can build his own plane, what is our excuse? In order to have any action, you must first have act, okay? Everybody is always saying you can't do anything. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can. You can do something. I broadcast a show every day. I get up, I do it. Sometimes it sucks, sometimes it doesn't suck, but it's always fun. It's always good. I'm always happy to do it, you know? And there's a lot of people out there who may not have, you know, incredibly strong mouth muscles like I do, but there's lots of people out there who have much bigger brain muscles than I do, and I wonder where my flying cars are. Yes, you're wondering when I was going to get this back to the flying cars, weren't you? But that's it! Wogs need flying cars. And we need to have a unified front. Maybe if there's some sort of a way we could, you know, create a unified front of flying cars and maybe some sort of a cash system in which we all logged, you know, didn't have to worry about money anymore. I don't know how that's going to work, but it'd be handy, you know. So those are the two things to ponder today. One, the importance of cash. Two, flying cars. And moving on to the Sheep of NIMH. Did anybody else here get that? Did anybody here ever see the cartoon, The Secret of NIMH? Because I thought it was a great cartoon, Miss Brisby and all that. I really enjoyed that cartoon. If you haven't seen it, because all of you are probably, well, you're probably too young to have seen it, because I saw it at the theater. But yeah, Secret of NIMH, it's a good animated film, you know, good for the kids. So, you know, make sure you check that out. Now, anyway, on to the Sheep of NIMH. One on a farm about 6 miles outside of this gambling town. Jason Chamberlain looks over a flock of about 50 smelly sheep, many of them possessing partially human livers, hearts, brains, and other organs. Partially human brains, eh? The University of Nevada, Reno researchers talks matter-of-factly about his plans to euthanize one of the pregnant sheep in a nearby lab. He can't wait to examine the effects of human cells he's injected into the fetus brain about 2 months ago. Oh my gosh. It's mice on a large scale, Chamberlain says with a shrug. As strange as his work may sound, it falls firmly within the new ethics guidelines the National Academy issued this week as part of stem cell research. In fact, the Academy's report endorses much of the co-mingles human and animal tissue as a vital to ensuring that experimental drugs and new tissue replacement therapies are safe for people. You know, they do more animal testing today than ever before. Yet it seems to me that there's more drugs killing people than ever before, and I'd like to know why that is. If animal testing actually, you know, should save lives, shouldn't there be less people dying? What is it, like 100,000 people die every year due to, you know, drug ODs and just bad prescription deaths and stuff like that? So shouldn't this be, you know, kind of, shouldn't this be cutting it down a little bit? The National Academics, private non-profit agencies chartered by Congress to provide public advice on science and technology, consist of the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, and the Institute of Medicine and National Research Council. Doctors have transplanted pig valves into human hearts for years, and scientists have injected human cells into lamb animals for even longer. But the biological co-mingling of animal and human is now evolving into even more exotic and unsettling mixes of the species, evoking the Greek myth of the monstrous chimera, which was part lion, part goat, and part sea serpent. Or, if you happen to read my books, it evokes images of the Malkuthrad and of the Plexites, which you can read all about in my upcoming book. Oh, shameless plug! In the past 2 years, scientists have created pigs with human blood. Creepy. Fused rabbit ears with human DNA and injected human stem cells to make paralyzed mice walk. Well, I bet you the mice were rather pleased about that. Particularly worrisome to some scientists are the nightmare scenarios that could arise from mixing of brain cells. Now, this is an area that I'm like, ooh, hey. What if a human mind somehow got trapped inside of a sheep's head? Dun, dun, dun. You would have Eric, the clever sheep. He'd learn how to fly. I should write a book about that. That'd be great. He'd have some sheep. He wakes up one day and he's like, bang, you know. He's Neo Sheep. And he alerts all the other sheep. I've oftentimes thought, you know, if I was going to start injecting brain cells into an animal, it sure as hell wouldn't be sheep. Once again, I'd do it to the apes. Give me a gorilla. Now let's boost his IQ and make him the Antichrist of Cincinnati. Because everybody knows that the Antichrist is supposed to come from a city that sits on seven hills. There's only three cities in the world to do it. Rome is a place in Syria, I think. And Cincinnati sits on seven hills. So what if, you know, the Antichrist was actually an ape that they did some brain cell mixing with and suddenly became intelligent, learned sign language, learned how to read the Bible, decided that we didn't sin against God, went out into the bush, and allied all the apes into a holy jihad against mankind. I mean, really, who would you side with there? You know, personally, I'd have to side with the humans, because, you know, can't really let the apes win. The idea that human neuron cells might participate in higher-order brain functions in a non-human animal, however unlikely that may be, raises some concerns that need to be considered. The academics report warned. So he's like, hey, you know, if you get these sheep. Now, this is the other thing here, which is like the great myth. It's kind of like Santa Claus. And unfortunately, by today's society, I'm going to piss a lot of people off by saying this, but the great myth of our society is that human life has value. Because quite clearly, by what you see going on in the news, by the decisions made every day by corporations, human life has no value. The core politicals place absolutely no value on human life beyond that of its labor potential. sick and weird. Yes, it's true. But realistically, according to today's modern standards, other than for people like you and I, who believe in the intrinsic value and sacredness of life, because I gotta say, I believe life to be pretty sacred, it's pretty rare, the people who are running the show do not believe that life has any intrinsic value whatsoever, human or otherwise. So that's why people like us, who have no money and no power, will go, oh, you know, this is terrible that they're doing this, la, 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 la. Whereas the shifty bastards who've been knifing people their entire lives to amass the gold, who sit back with their blood-sucking thoughts, don't care. They live in a world built upon hate. They live in a world built upon envy. They live in a world built upon materialism. They live in a world built upon meat and all that can be seen that is meat. And this is why they have the power. Unfortunately, it's true. You cannot deny that unless you choose to master yourself with cash, the only thing you can use is force. And of course, if you even talk about force, you know, my God, people will instantly call you a terrorist. But if you advise people to put the money together, oh yeah, chase money, 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 that's the key. Chase the money. And then, you know, they use the carrot and the stick routine where they tell you if you work hard, you get money, which is the biggest load of shit I've ever heard in my life. You'll never, ever get rich by working hard. Won't happen. Will not happen. You cannot get rich by working hard. You have to work hard at working smart. You have to make sure that you put yourself into an area where there's supply and demand and all those laws are in effect. Why in the world anyone would train to be a dental assistant is completely beyond me. If I'm going to go to school to train, I may as well train to be a dentist or a lawyer or a doctor or someone who's going to make enough money. The money, money, money. It's horrible, I know. But if you want to survive and help other people survive, you're going to need that cash. Are you getting the theme? You getting the theme here? It's the truth. Now, artists are beginning to wake up to this money situation because they're getting tired of getting pimped. Linkin Park, big band, huge band. I'm not a huge fan of them myself. I haven't heard a lot of their stuff. I'm not a fan, you know what I mean? But I just haven't listened to a lot of Linkin Park. But they say, and I know they're huge, though, because everybody loves these guys. But they say it wants to dump Warner Music, and it's hinting that it may start using the net to distribute songs. Well, holy shit, look who's listening. Canada's Edgar Boffman Jr. and Friends, Warner's music group's new owners, says, quote, we'll be reaping a windfall of $1.4 billion from their new $2.6 billion purchase a mere 18 months ago if the planned IPO moves forward, says a press release, registration required, from Linkin Park. Does this mean that WMG will pass some of the money along to the group, one of the most important band assets, and to its hard-pressed workers? No, forget it. Of the planned $750 million raised by an IPO, only about $7 million will be put towards the company's own operations, with no money going to WMG artists, says Linkin Park in the statement headed for Linkin Park opposes fleecing of Warner Music, demands immediate release. The band says it's been responsible for about 10% of Warner Music's record sales, selling over 35 million records worldwide in just 5 years. That would make them a pretty huge band. After reading numerous and daily articles about how WMG executives and corporate raiders have ridden the coattails of creative community to extract their massive rewards, don't even get me started about that, Linkin Park has become increasingly offended and discouraged, it goes on. We couldn't be more grateful for the support we receive from all our fans around the world. We feel a responsibility to get great music to our fans. Unfortunately, we believe that we can't accomplish that effectively with current Warner Music. So now Linkin Park wants out, and it is weighing all the options about how to get new music to their fans. I think that this is something every artist worth his merit struggles about. Every artist out there hates selling their work. True artists, you know, if you feel, well, I can't really say that. You know, true artists, you know, that's a hell of a thing to say. But I think it's fairly fair to note that most artists feel kind of like whores when they sell their work, you know, like especially painters and stuff like that. You know, you draw a picture of like something beautiful and then you've got to put a price on it. You've got to sell it. And then, you know, you've got all these other issues that come into play. You know, what do you think your stuff is worth and so on and so forth. It's a large, you know, kind of a complicated thing to figure out what your work should go for. Now, Linkin Park is a massive, massive band with huge sales, huge amounts of money dumped into it, huge fans all over the world. You know, and now they're not getting their just desserts, right? Like, how many other bands, you look at guys, how many artists are nowhere right now? Like, David Lee Roth, for example, classic example of this. David Lee Roth was the lead singer of Van Halen. Van Halen was regarded as one of the top 80s glam bands. For sure, not even a question, yet now the guy's broke. He was broke, and he became a paramedic. He's a paramedic now in New York, I think it is. Whereas, arguably, he's one of the greatest frontmen of any band in the 80s. Easily. Probably one of the greatest frontmen of all time in rock and roll. Yet now, he is a paramedic. And why is that? Because he didn't hold on to cash. Cash. The thing that makes the world go round. Money, 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 money. I hate money. But you cannot deny... You cannot deny the power that cash has, and this is why we must not fear money. We must understand money and take that knowledge and use it to our advantage to take the power away from the core political who currently holds the money. Because at the end of the day, we are, in fact, more clever than they are. Getting into money, let's talk about the Bilderberg Group. The American Free Press reports the European Bilderberg hunters have found the hiding place of this secret cabal at posh... At a posh resort in this charming little city over 40 miles from Munich. Their annual meeting is May 5th to 8th. Now, the Bilderberg Group is a scary. They are probably the closest thing to the Illuminati I can find. Bilderberg is gathering at the Dorant Sofel Sea Hotel Uberfart. Uberfart. I'm not even kidding. That's what it's called. Sea Hotel Uberfart. A five-star conference and business hotel with 188 luxury rooms on its lake. It's on a lake and near a golf course. Typical Bilderberg requirements. High officials in the U.S. government and possibly a few congressional leaders will participate. Well, what? They will participate in 3 days of secret meetings to plan global policy. What? So you got all these people getting together to plan global policy. Heads of state and other high officials from Europe and Britain will participate along with other world financiers. Again, people with the money. David Rockefeller and his valet, Harry Kissinger, are longtime Bilderberg regulators. Donald Graham, publisher of the Washington Post, and associate editor Ginny Lee Hoagland regularly attend upon their promise not to report anything. Well, look at that. The New York Times, LA Times, and all major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, have participated. All participants are sworn to secrecy. Look at this. Bilderberg denies its existence, and all the resorts which they hold their meetings require their employees to lie and deny they are present. Okay, stop me when this starts to sound more and more like, you know, some Sabbath vampirical thing. Three times, the Dorant told AFP they were fully booked, but that Bilderberg was not there. All but Bilderberg participants and their staff's wives, or in some cases someone else's wives, will be required to leave. The hotel staff will be warned to reveal nothing about what they see and hear. Armed guards will patrol not only the main entrance, but the perimeters. Well, who gave these guys the authority to be armed? Who's arming these mercenaries? Where are these Ronin getting their weapons to wander around this country to enforce the super elite? Exposing Bilderberg meetings has provided advance warning months that have mainstream media of U.S. wars, tax increases, and the downfall of Margaret Thatcher as Prime Minister of Britain, among other exclusives. So you know what? We know that the Bilderberg Group exists. We know they make world policy because they're the ones with the cash. They follow the money. He who has the gold makes the rules. Sick and weird. So the only other thing we could do, of course, is to take the gold away from them. Oh... No one suggested that. I wonder if there's a way we could stop them from using money. Oh, yes, my hacker brain twirls. I would love to get some pictures of a wog holding a sign outside of this hotel. If we got any wogs in that region, that would be very, very cool. Don't get yourself shot. Now, web mines. This is yet another piece of good black ice which we're finding on the web. Security researchers warn that one-letter typo in Google's domain name could lead to a massive virus and spyware infection attack. Is this FUD? I don't know. A simple misspelling of Google's domain name could lead to a web server's worst nightmare. Well, you know, we have pretty good nightmares here. In a new twist of the old practice of typo squatting, virus writers have registered a slight variation of Google Incorporated's popular search-free engine site to take advantage of any users who botch the spelling of Google.com. The malicious site, Google, K-L-E, so it's Google with a K between the G and the L, is infested with Trojan droppers, downloaders, backward doors, and spyware, and an unsuspecting user only has to visit the page to be at risk of computer hijack attacks, according to a warning from Finnish antivirus vendor F-Secure Corp. While Google is open in a browser, two pop-up windows are immediately launched, which redirect to a third-party site which loads the script, unless, of course, you have Adblocker on Firefox. One of the sites, ntsearch.com, downloads and runs the pop.chm file, and the other, toolbarpartner.com, downloads and runs dds.chm file, F-Secure said. So why doesn't somebody shut these guys down? Both files are downloaded using exploits, and they contain exploits themselves to run embedded executable files. One of the web pages of the toolbarpartner.com website downloads a file named pic10jpg, uses an exploit. This JPEG is actually an executable that replaces the Windows Media Player application, the warning reads. Very, very scary. Very scary that there are these little web mines that have been placed out there that will infect your box. This is yet more reasons why you should be using Firefox, you should make sure you've got current antivirus, and you should be using constant spyware monitoring. It's not just a requirement on today's internet, it's vital. Vital. You shouldn't be allowed to surf without it. It's absolutely unbelievably important, especially when you think about how much money people spend on their laptops and how much we as gargoyles, you know, how much time we spend online. I mean, I'm probably, you know, preaching to the choir in saying this, because if you're listening to this show, you're already highly educated. You already know what you're doing online. But, you know, we need to educate others. We need to tell others what's going on. Now, here's an interesting story about a brain-dead man who recovered 10 years after a firefighter was left brain damaged and mostly mute during a 1995 roof collapse. He did something that shocked his family and his doctors. He perked up. "I want to talk to my wife," Donald Herbert said out of the blue on Saturday. Staff members at the nursing home where he was lived for more than 7 years raced to get Linda Hebert on the telephone. It was the first of many conversations the 44-year-old patient had with his wife, four sons, and other family and friends during a 14-hour stretch, Herbert's uncle Simon Manka said. "How long have I been away?" Herbert asked. "We told him almost 10 years," the uncle said, "and he thought it was only 3 months. Wouldn't that be a head trip, eh? I think you're down for the count for 3 months, and bang, it's 10 years later. That would suck." Herbert was fighting a house fire December 29, 1995, when the roof collapsed, burying him under the debris. Shitty. After going without air for several minutes, Herbert was comatose for 2.5 months and has undergone therapy ever since. New accounts in the days and years after his injury describe Herbert as blind with little, if any, memory. Video shows him receiving physical therapy, but apparently unable to communicate with little awareness of his surroundings. Now, it makes you wonder about Terry Schiavo, doesn't it? I would have wanted to have been geeked myself. Like, if I got crushed and brain dead and I couldn't speak and I was, like, all drooling on myself in a nursing home, I would have wanted someone to come in there and check me out, you know, brainstem me and make it quick. Because the last thing I want to be is some vegetable drooling on myself. But look here. After 10 years, and the guy's 44, past his prime. Everybody can see that. Yet somehow his brain found a way, and it rebooted, and now he's back up and running. Maybe he's not at full speed. I'm sure he's not going to be, you know, taking on Bobby Fischer anytime soon. But the fact is, it does make you about Terry Schiavo. What if there was a way to fix her? What if we're not so true with the brain? Because you can bet the scientists aren't going to be talking about this. Guy's brain dead for 10 years and recovers? Oh, we don't know why that happened. You know why you don't know? Because you're not as smart as you think you are. Now, here's another story. Now, this is an interesting story here. What do you get when you cross a dead Italian reporter, secrets, and an inept U.S. military? An incredible online cock-up. The full details of a classified U.S. military report to the shooting of Italian secret agent Nicola Calipari in Iraq have been made widely and publicly available. An error was caused by the U.S. military itself, which posted an unclassified version of the report on the internet as a PDF file with large chunks blacked out. However, the Pentagon had failed to save the file with the edit lines in place, so a simple copy and paste of the document into a word processing application revealed the report in full. The Pentagon has since pulled the PDF, but not before it became widely downloadable, and now copies of both uncensored version are widely available on the internet. Memory holes, stuff like that. So what were the military secrets so important that they could not have been revealed to the public? Well, they fall into three categories. First, information the Army has clearly withheld. to prevent journalists from reporting back unpleasant facts and figures. Well, you know, that's pretty obvious. Second, details of standard U.S. military procedures when it comes to roadblocks. And lastly, the names of those individuals and units involved. Ouch, not good. Specialist Mario Lozo was the only soldier to fire during the incident, was Mr. Calipari died in Baghdad. Now, this is the one with the reporter. Mr. Calipari and his colleagues were in the Italian military intelligence. Mr. Andrea Carpelli were returning from a successful mission to release Italian journalist Guala Segrena, who'd been kidnapped months earlier by insurgents. They were heading to the airport when they came across a U.S. roadblock. Remember this? I was talking about this. And then, you know, everyone's saying it was assassination. They were trying to kill the reporter. Despite most Ms. Lorenzo and Mr. Caparelli already being in the public domain of those involved, their names were blacked out, as were the names of all U.S. military personnel involved in the incident. Standard procedure, nothing new there. Including commanding officer of the company, Captain Michael Drew, First Lieutenant Robert Davis, and the man in charge of the scene, Second Lieutenant Nicholas Acosta. Big deal! So they were in charge, and again, they did nothing wrong. Italian authorities claimed that three U.S. soldiers fired at the car, U.S. report claims. Only one soldier fired. So one soldier shot at the vehicle. The information pulled out sorely to avoid embarrassment includes. So this is also what the report said. The fact that there were 3,306 attacks by insurgents in Baghdad between 1 November 2004 and 12 March 2005. That's a lot of attacks. 2,400 of them aimed at coalitions. Well, who the hell were the other 1,000 attacks aimed at? Another point is that the soldiers and commanders, not only journalists, described the road the car was traveling down, Route Irish, as the deadliest road in Iraq. Okay, so again, why were they on that road? If the Italian Secret Service were so goddamn smart, why were they taking an escape reporter down the deadliest road in Iraq? It begs that question. Furthermore, of course the roadblock is going to be twitchy because they're, again, on the deadliest road in Iraq. So this reinforces the military's position. The fact that there was no alternate Route Irish for large numbers of troops every day. Well, you know, that's just fluff. There is a minimum of one attack a day on that route. Yeah, because it's at war and things are shitty there. The methods used by insurgents, including putting bombs in a bin bag, setting timers, or pretending to be roadmen fixing the road when they're in flank, in fact, planting bombs. Well, yeah, because that's what they do. And that there is such a thing as the political military counselor who has the authority to direct military operations according to Washington's orders. Well, that guy should be removed, and you should let the army do its job, and everybody else should have a nice big glass and shut the fuck up. Most significant censorship, however, surrounded the recommendations, the first of which stated that from now on, the military should look at the installing non-lethal measures such as spike strips and speed bumps before the soldier in the gun turret. Clearly, this would have spelt out the headline for media reports of the inquiry, having seen heavy criticism of the U.S. military, but they were not wrong! That's just it! You put in the non-lethal measures, that's just going to be something to cowtail everybody else. The car charged the roadblock, the soldiers vaped the car. This is really cut and dry here. Also removed from the recommendations that different signs be used, oh, that'll make a big difference, and that the gunner in the turret should not have to operate the spotlight and the gun at the same time of the roadblock. Well, that's smart. Which is what happened in the case, many have caused, which is what have happened in this case, and may have been the cause of Mr. Caparelli's death. Now, that's a load of shit, and that's more left-wing crap. They didn't kill her on purpose, did they? So that means that all the left-wing jerks with their soldier assassin theory is bullshit. Now, I love the way that the left-wing press, just like the white-wing press, okay, they come in there and they report the story and they put another spin on it. See, oh yeah, the military's bad, military's bad. The military is not bad. Stop trying to vilify the army. Okay, they are enforcement. You want to vilify the politics. You want to vilify anything here. Get rid of the goddamn political military counselor because you can bank that he's not required there. For Christ's sakes, if you're going to send the army into a region, will you send the fucking army in? Let them do their thing. They're there for a reason. They know more about war than you do. Get the politics out of there. No soldier can win a war with one hand tied around his nuts. It's horrible what goes on in war. Don't get me wrong. I hate war. But since you're at war, there is no rules in war. You simply win. That is the rule. That is the rules which they play by. And this is reality. Get with the program, people. So all you left-wing pressmongers out there saying that, you know, the army's trying to kill reporters, you better grow the fuck up. Because that's not the way it is. And I don't care how you spin your news stories, when you get these classified documents, which is good, okay? But don't try to play this up like it's the Army's fault, because clearly it is not. Now, how's this for spin? It seems that according to, who is this now? Is this CNN? Is this CNN here? Or is this, no, this is the BBC, I believe. It seems that gargoyles are dumber than dope fiends. Gargoyles being, of course, those of us that are hooked in 24/7. What? How can you possibly, you know, people who live and breathe and digest information are dumber than dope fiends. Workers distracted by phone calls, emails, and text messages suffer a greater loss of IQ than a person smoking marijuana, a British study shows. Now, this is the condition I have dubbed the black shakes. Now, I get this from Johnny Mnemonic, of course, but this is the constant feed of information when you get the black shakes. Eventually, it causes a meltdown. When you're just doing too much all at once, you get the black shakes, but you can come back from it. And you do, in fact, come back stronger if you do it correctly. The constant interruptions reduce productivity and leave people feeling tired and lethargic, according to a survey carried out by TNS Research, commissioned by Hewlett-Packard. The survey showed 1,100 Britons. Okay, so they surveyed over 1,100 people. Almost 2 out of 3 people checked their electronic messages, out of the office hours when on holiday. So they checked their email while on holiday. Nothing new there. Half of all workers responded to an email within 60 minutes of receiving one, of course. 1 in 5 will break off from a business or social engagement to respond to a message, of course. 9 out of 10 people thought colleagues who answered messages during face-to-face meetings were rude, while 3 out of 10 believed it was not only accessible, but a sign of diligence and efficiency. Because if you don't do that, you get left behind. If you don't, you know, he who runs at top speed will get the promotion and therefore the cash. So they will use the financial whip to beat the workers into the black shakes. You see how all this works now. But the mental impact of trying to balance a steady inflow of messages and getting on with normal work took its toll, the UK's Press Association reported. Of course, because it's a use and burn situation with these corporations. There's more and more people coming out of universities all the time, so they will use and lose you. They'll take you in, burn you out, and hire somebody else. In 80 clinical trials, Dr. Glenn Wilson, a psychiatrist at King's College London University, monitored the IQ of workers throughout the day. He found that IQ of those who tried to juggle messages and work fell by 10 points. That's if, of course, you even consider that IQ is accurate. This is very real and very widespread phenomenon. Yeah, well, no doubt. If you keep getting bugged when you're working, you're not going to get anything done. We have found that this obsession with looking at messages, if unchecked, will damage a worker's performance if by reducing their mental sharpness. Companies should encourage more balanced and appropriate way of working. Well, that's true, but they won't because, well, why should they? Because human life has no value, therefore suffering has no value. Wilson said the IQ drop was even more significant in the men who took part in the test. This is true because men, of course, cannot multitask as well as women can. Proven fact. All you got to do is give a guy a game of Quake and you will see that person in action. Honey, house is on fire. Kids are killing each other. The research suggests that we are in danger of being caught up in a 24-hour, always-on society. In danger? In danger of it? Dude, you better get on the boat, said David Smith of Hewlett-Packard. This is the Black Shakes. Nice of you to catch up, and this was CNN. And it was, and some of us, incidentally, were born for this shit there, Meatbot. So just because you can't keep up with young people who grow up monitoring 30 different means at a time, you know, don't put it too much of a slag on, but we do need to make sure that we don't burn ourselves out. This is important. Now listen to this. Ceausescu's phone much? Noisy neighbors have become the scourge of modern life, resulting in stress, sleepless nights, and even violence. Now Westminster Council hopes a new wireless microphone could help tackle the problem. It plans to attach a device to lampposts, outside houses, allowing inspectors to monitor sound levels if neighbors make too much noise. Holy cow. No, we're not here to put surveillance on you. We're here to, you know, make sure that nobody's making too much noise. The microphones, which communicates via the internet connection, will be attached to lampposts across Soho to test the systems for the next few months. Eventually, this wireless network will cover the whole of Westminster and be used by workers wherever they are, said Mr. Harrison. Now, this is just audio surveillance of society, is what this is. And, of course, keeping with core political programming, get the children. The core political merit badge. I would love to get one of these. If anybody's in Hong Kong or can get me one of these badges, please get me one of these badges. The Boy Scouts in Hong Kong can now earn merit badges for learning about the wonders of copyright law, at least the versions described by the Motion Picture Association. Do these people have any ethics whatsoever? The MPA, the Hong Kong Scout Association, Hong Kong Scout Association and the Hong Kong government announced the program this week. It's the first of its type anywhere in the world. And, of course, it's coming out of Hong Kong. The Intellectual Property Badge Award Program will provide thousands of young people, future leaders, with a better understanding of the value of intellectual property and the importance of protecting it, Mike Ellis, Senior Vice President of the MPI, said in a press release. Oh, yeah. Not to mention, you gotta love that child programming. I think it personally defeats the purpose of scouting. You know, personally, I think that, you know, sharing is all part of scouting. That's another badass walk book, by the way. Scouting for Boys. Popular in San Francisco, I understand. Written by Robert Baden-Powell. I have an original 1908 edition, and let me tell you, they cover everything in there about, you know, they cover how to track and kill people, for crying out loud. And that brings us today's Daily Hack. The future of evolution. Now, this is important. Does evolutionary theory allow for circumstances in which spin-off human species could develop again? This is where we're getting into transhumanism. This is a fantastic article. Some think the rapid rise of genetic modification could be just a circumstance. Others believe that we could blend ourselves with machines in unprecedented ways, turning natural-born humans into an endangered species. Such ideas may sound little more than science fiction plot lines, but trend watchers point out that we're already wrestling with real-world aspects of future human development, ranging from stem cell research to implementation of biocompatible computer chips. The debates are likely to become increasingly divisive once all the scientific implications sink in. The problem is, scientists can't predict with precision how our species will adapt and change over the next millennium, let alone over the next million years. That's why Dawkins believes it's imprudent to make predictions in the first place. But where are humans headed? And here is an imprudent assessment of five possible paths, ranging from homogenized humans to alien-looking hybrids bred for interstellar travel. It all begins with choice. And what could we do if we evolve by choice? You know, as we grow in our own lives, how can we use evolution to grow to our own invention, to our own advantage? Meaning that you change once every 2 years. If you take a habit, do it for 21 days, it becomes a permanent habit, and that will affect you as you grow. Think about it. Choice. If you choose to save money, become obsessive with saving money, pretty soon you'll have money. It's that simple. How can you use this to your advantage? Think and conquer. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive in this crazy, crazy, rapidly evolving world. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations. Notice that money again. Generous donations from the people who are willing to fight in today's society and willing to give up their hard-earned cash so that I can keep doing what I do. And those people, God love them, are Forley, Dave, The Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, R. Darmu, Charles, Matthew, I think I said Justin in there too, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Allen. New subscribers from last month were Druid Y. Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because every little bit helps, you better believe it. Special thanks to the Hard Net Runners, the Army of the Flying Monkeys, who provided the recce for these news stories. Wyondi, Digital Attrition, Dead Code, Ricky Rocket, Mythos, Zizix, Foulware, Dark Nature, Mostly Harmless, and my baby Phoenix. Digital baptisms this week is John Powell is now Brain Jam. And don't forget, we still got Phoenix Fest coming up. And thanks again for everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure to pick up the album Under the Sky by Interlace. Very, very cool. And I'm going to leave you now with a track from my own personal soundtrack, a track by KMFDM, A Drug Against War. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Bomb the living bejeepers out of those forces.
Yeah.
force.
Kill everything.
Bomb the Jeepers out of those forces. That's not enough.